vast multitudes.
Aloha, what's up everyone? Welcome to another episode of Ancient Oblivion. I'm Jay Drimmers. Nice to see you guys today. We're going to revisit this topic that I have discussed many years ago about tree portals and all the different instances of tree portals that you may have seen in the movies or on television or in books. Let me jump into the chat, just make sure everybody can hear me okay and see me okay. Good to see everybody in the chat. It looks like we got Julie Miller, Aaron Nunn, Welsh Truth Seeker, Jason Leisure, Reinventing the Sword. I like that one. Welcome to your first live stream, by the way. Let's see. We got Aaron Nunn, Thinking It Through, Twisted Sister, Jason Hand, Welsh. I said that one. Rose Carter, Rinaldo Lopez, Dr. Hu Maniel, Ryan H. M. Crumpy, Green-Eyed Crow, and a bunch of other people who are coming in right now. Chastity, I see you. Good to see you guys. Midnight Apothecary. All right, let's jump in right into the topic. Thank you so much for the thumbs up. Appreciate you guys on that. So we're going to be talking about tree portals today. And are there trees that actually lead into other worlds, right? Can you somehow manifest or change your vibration or something and like go through a tree, any old tree, and just travel into another place? No, you can't, in short, okay? However, there's truth to the myth. There's truth to that. Hey, I just got a new subscriber, Casers Platt. High five, good to see you. There is a quintessential root. There is a tree on Earth that you can travel into other worlds. And one of those names for the other world is the Upside Down. So in the TV show Stranger Things, a lot of times you guys see me wearing my Stranger Things t-shirt because it's one of my favorite shows. Plus, I just like Stranger Things in general. Well, in this show, they have the Upside Down world, the world that's directly underneath the surface world. The surface world here is where we live. The Upside Down is literally the hollow earth underneath us. There is an entire world underneath our feet. And in the show, one of the entrances to get to the Upside Down is through a tree. This one right here, right? So you got these spider webs and stuff, and there's sort of this glowing red plasma stuff, and the creatures come out of this tree, and people can go into this tree. They can go into the Upside Down, and the creatures can come out of this tree into the surface world where we live. This reflects an ancient and forgotten truth, a reality that most people don't know about. It's called the World Tree. The World Tree. It's also known as the trunk of Yggdrasil, or the Norse Tree of Life. It's the Axis Mundi. It is at the center of our world, and it does exist. We don't see it right now, but all of your compasses point towards this powerful, energetic tree. I'll talk more about that in a minute. Here's another example from one of my favorite television shows ever, my favorite series ever. It's called the Shannara Chronicles. And this tree right here is central to the Elven people. Now, you'll see lots of different types like this within the Lord of the Rings and the Rings of Power and things like that. But this is a central tree. You notice how this tree right here does these little spirals all the way up it, right? That's because it represents the Tree of Life. It represents the tree at the center of the world, which affectionately is the blue beam that shoots up out of Yggdrasil or Mount Meru. And it spirals upwards because it's electromagnetic in nature. Just fixing my lights over here. And in the background, you can also see that they sort of have this pyramid too, this white pyramid, right? Well, that also represents Mount Meru. You'll have a lot of Mount Meru symbolism. Mount Meru is known as Rupas Nigra, or the Black Mountain. However, it goes from white to black. It actually changes color. Whenever we go through a transition, which I call the plasma apocalypse, or a worldwide reset, we go through a period of time when geoplasmas erupt from within the Earth, and they shoot up out of cavernous systems, out of caves and mountains and volcanoes. And beams shoot up into the sky and they create tree-like figures. Some people see them as birds or people, but oftentimes they're trees of the world. There's one large one, one main one, and when that tree dies, the world of the elves will go away. The world of magic will start to go away, and evil will creep into this world as the world loses energy for another eon, for another age. And so you have a lot of this type of symbolism. Here it is again, the Elkris. In the TV show The Shannara Chronicles, this tree is called the Elkris, or the Tree of Light, or the Strong Light. Kris is short for, it's another way of saying light, or to shine, shining, like Christ is the shining one. We also have this in Avatar. So if you've seen the movie Avatar, you remember this tree that has all these little bioluminescent tendrils that sort of hang off of it. It's called the Tree of Souls. And that is also Rupas Nigra. That's also symbolic of the tree at the center of the world, which is positioned at the largest necropolis of the earth. It is the place of the dead. Why? Because whenever you go down into the earth in that realm, in that area, that's where you have this huge buildup of gases and plasmas also, that look like spirits that are floating around and flying around, and that's where all the spirits live. So, this is also, you know, the tree symbolism with an Avatar is huge, having these gigantic world trees, gigantic ancient giant trees, and they glow oftentimes. They're trees of light, quite literally. They'll show this to you in the movies as if they're just bioluminescent physical trees, you know. And if you go to these trees, you can become strong, you can become more intelligent, you can live for a very long time, and they're always depicted as life-giving. But they're also portals into other places, places where reincarnation happens, or places where spirits come up out of, or spirits go down into. Sometimes they release the dead. Sometimes these trees are seen as containers, traps to keep evil locked away down inside of the bowels of the earth for a time, until the time comes when these tree portals open up and evil enters into this world. This is also Pandora's box, symbolically speaking. This right here is from the movie The Headless Horseman. This is the version with Johnny Depp. Oftentimes, you'll notice that it's the Tree of Life because it will be twisted, right? Just like I showed you in the Shannara Chronicles, how it twists its way up like that. Or sometimes it'll have two trees that bow inward and create like one sort of large tree with an opening in the middle. And that has a lot to do with the Tree of Life at the center of the world and how there's a plasma sheath over the Garden of Eden. There's also an anode and a cathode volcano on either side of that island, and they erupt, giving their own trees or lampstands or witnesses to that central tree. Okay, and they create an electrical arc between the two, and it looks like a ladder that goes up into the heavens, creating and giving us Jacob's ladder. Now, the reason for the headless horseman symbolism and the reason why the headless horseman comes up out of this tree is the beam at the center of the world that shoots up out of Rupas Nigra, or out of that plasma volcano at the center of the world, the plasma sheath underneath it that goes over and protects the Garden of Eden looks like legs that are bowing outward, right? And then you have a beam that shoots up out of it that gives you the body of a stick figure. And then as it goes higher up, that beam spreads out into arms or wings, but it has no head. It is a headless man. The head is what I call the apex dome. It is a portion of the firmament that bows inward, and it lights up every other cycle. So you can see this circular portion right above the head of this, I mean, right above the body of this stick figure plasmoid, or this quintessential first man or spirit man. This is also shown to us, the tree portal symbolism, especially trees that lock away evil or act as barriers between a world of evil or a world of fantasy and a world of the norm, the normal world that we live in today. This is in Ferngully, the Last Rainforest, which is basically Avatar. It's basically, this was Avatar before James Cameron stole the idea and made the movie Avatar. But the same thing here. We had this sort of smoky monster guy who represented evil. I think his name was Hexus. And he represents the hex that is released from this tree into this world once this tree starts to die. Okay. When this tree lives and it is blooming just like this within the movie, at least, right? Then evil is locked away. It's locked inside of the tree. It can't get out. And in our world, that equates to Satan versus Jesus, or Satan versus God, or good versus evil, or whatnot, right? That's because we go through cycles where the surface world will be evil and the underworld will have a golden age or be good. And then it'll flip and it'll be the reverse. We will have the golden age, and underneath us, they will go through the world that we're going through right now. This is also what it looks like in Ferngully 2 whenever it's not doing so great. It's sort of a shorter tree. You can see it's darker. It's like a black color. So this represents Rupus Nigra. When the mountain turns black, the mother is in mourning. Okay. And this is a black Madonna symbolism. The black Madonna, the black mother, the mother who wears black because her son has died, or her light has died, or retracted, or gone back down into the earth, into the bowels of the earth. And so that mountain turns dark. We also see the tree portal symbolism, the tree gateway symbolism, within one of my favorite movies that I've also decoded here on my channel, The Princess Bride, right? So Inigo Montoya, you might remember that famous line where he goes, "My name is Inigo Montoya. You'll kill my father. Prepare to die." Well, he's looking for his father. He's also looking for the man in black, etc. He has no idea where to find him. So he uses, in order to find this tree right here next to him actually has a door that opens up, right? There's a secret knob he has to find and stuff. But to find it, he uses the sword as a key. He uses a metallic object, and he literally starts just walking around the forest until it's attracted to the tree. Why? Because this tree is a magnetic mountain. The tree portion, or the trunk of the Tree of Life, is a lodestone volcano. It's a lodestone mountain. A lodestone in the old world just meant a magnet, basically, right? A magnetic mountain. And that's why Inigo uses his sword, and he walks around and lets the sword guide him, because when you go into the Garden of Eden, you can't bring metallic objects. You can't bring guns. You can't bring swords. You can't bring weapons or anything, because anything that is made of metal will be pulled towards this tree or any of the magnetic portions of this island at the center of the world, because it's a lodestone or magnetic island. And that's why you have to get rid of all of your weapons. Just like whenever you watched the Neverending Story, when Atreo was going to go on his journey, he was told you can't bring any weapons with you. You have to leave all your weapons behind, etc., right? So he uses his sword. It's basically also acting like a compass. And all of your little swords within your compass, your little needles, they point towards that tree. They point towards the Tree of Life at the center of the world. We also have another example of this in Pan's Labyrinth, which, by the way, is all in Spanish, okay? It looks like the coolest movie ever. I just don't happen to speak Spanish, so it was, anyway, that's besides the point. It's a great movie. I just put the subtitles on, and I'm good to go. But this is basically the Spanish version of, I believe, Alice in Wonderland, right? Where we've got this girl, and she finds this same type of tree. We've got these two trees that make these horns. The horns at the top are also that same head in the sky. It's like a decapitated head. It's Medusa's head. It's the shield of Zeus. It's that apex dome that I was telling you about. People down below will just see it as a circle. You know, they might not understand that it's actually a dome. They might think it's a planet. They might think it's something else. You know, it's interpreted in different ways. But it's Kronos. It's called the Horned One. Why? Because plasma seeps out of it and moves in the direction of the jet stream, creating this horn of plasma, right? Or a corn, or a horn of plasma, right? And that's why this is called Kronos as well. Or at the top of the tree, that's where Kronos would live, in the sky, basically, right? Also, this happens, obviously, in Alice in Wonderland, when she's actually in Wonderland. Now, check this out. Alice doesn't just go through a tree to get to the Queen of Hearts or whatever. This is her way home. This is how she actually gets home, is to travel through the tree. The Cheshire Cat, who also appears headless at the top of the tree here in this particular scene, he opens up the tree for her so that she can get home. That's at the end of the movie. But at the beginning of the movie, if you paid attention, this is the little rabbit hole where she traveled through. Let me see if I could get it behind me. All right, well, right behind me is this rabbit hole, okay? However, on top of the rabbit hole, you can see the roots of the tree, right? There's a tree right here, right up above the rabbit hole. This right here in Norse mythology, under that tree, this is Yggdrasil, okay? This is just all cartoonified, and it's being shown to you in fantasy form. But these are the roots of Yggdrasil. Yggdrasil, the world tree in Norse mythology, has three main root systems. One central one, which is Mount Meru at the center, the largest opening that goes down into the hollow earth. And then you have an anode and a cathode on either side, like I talked about. And those volcanoes, or those openings, those mountains, they have their own little entrances that go down into the inner earth. And this is exactly how she goes into Wonderland, right? A land of strange and magical creatures, which is what is underneath your feet right now. But it's not just in movies where we see this follow the white rabbit underneath the trunk of Yggdrasil or into the tree of life. It's also within ancient alchemical symbolism. What you're looking at right now is an alchemical drawing. Let me go ahead and move it a little bit so we can see it better. There we go. All right, cool. So this is Rupus Nigra. This is that mountain. This is a volcano, right? Not so much a lava volcano. It's a plasma volcano, right? And you can see they've hollowed it out. You'll see this if you study alchemical drawings or Rosicrucian drawings or Freemasonic drawings and their symbolism that goes with them. They will have certain elements within that that will let you know exactly what you're looking at. So, for example, they put the phoenix right there in the middle. The phoenix is the bird of light, the bird of creation, the thunderbird, the cosmic bird, the bird at the top of every totem pole, right? It's a beam of light that shoots up and then it spreads out into auroras at the top of the sky. That is the phoenix, and it is always born here. And it will always die here. And there's only one of them in the whole earth. Anyways, you can see that this mountain it has steps to it, right? This is the unfinished pyramid. That's why it's unfinished, because it's a volcano. It doesn't have a top or anything. It's got a hole at the top of it. And it's a cave as well. People go down inside of it. And you'll see these steps. They play with perspective here, but they're helping you to look down inside of something from a sideways view. Okay, so they kind of open it up. They also have the different gods and leaders and nobility on either side, because that's where nobility comes from. They are the survivors of ancient cataclysms. They lived here in Hyperborea once upon a time, a long time ago. But let's take a look down at the bottom of this tree, or the trunk of this tree, which is also a mountain, right? The trunk of it is the mountain. The tree portion is the plasma that shoots up and erupts out of it. What do we have at the bottom? Ah, we have some kind of creatures here at the bottom. They're rabbits, and they're going into the very bottom of this tree. They're going into Wonderland. This is the white rabbit, and you'll see this actually. This is just one example out of many different alchemical drawings that show you things like the earth and all the secrets of the earth. But anyways, that's what we have within the alchemical world. Now, back to the movies. This is Gandalf from The Rings of Power, The Lord of the Rings. It's sort of a prequel to The Lord of the Rings, right? This is a scene where Gandalf is looking for his staff, his magic staff. It's like a giant tree branch, basically. And he goes into this this area where there's all these dead trees, and he's trying to find the perfect one, and he's letting the staff call out to him. This is symbolic of the tree of life putting out a signal, because it's energetic, and it will pull out, it puts out a signal to everyone in the world, to the animals of the world, to the people of the world. Some people will hear that signal and be confused because they don't resonate with that vibration. Other people will hear that signal and they'll feel a calling. They'll feel something's off, or something's happening. Something's up with the world that they live in. Gandalf felt that signal. He was drawn to this tree to look for his staff of power, right? His magic tree stick, basically. He finds it, but he's not Gandalf yet. He doesn't even know who he is at this point in the movie or in the television show. He's just becoming Gandalf. So before he can really come into his wizardry and get back his godlike powers in the movie, right? he has to actually get sucked into the tree. The tree eats him, right? It pulls him in. It becomes a sort of transition point between Gandalf without any power, without any kind of magic or superpower. That is you. That is me today. Okay, we live in the time where people don't really have those superpowers that we used to have in a time long forgotten in our ancient oblivion. But once you go through the Tree of Life, or once the Tree of Life returns to this world, and that those geoplasmas erupt upwards into this world once more, the atmosphere will be electrically amplified and charged, and so will your chakras and your aura and your spirit being and the egg shape of energy that is around your body and your spirit and your soul and your synapses and your cellular structure, and you will have superpowers, should you be a survivor, once again. And there will be superheroes once more that enter into this world. And there will be magicians and sorceresses, and it will be a time of magic once more. This, some of you might recognize immediately, some people might not, because it's only shown in the movie for a quick moment. This is the Nightmare Before Christmas, right? And there's this sort of magical forest. You can see that there's these different trees. I think there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 trees. This is appropriate because this represents the North Pole. Each one of these trees is at the North Pole in real life, around that island that I tell you about. There's a central one in the middle, an eighth one. And they are all entrances into the inner earth. Each one of these trees in the movie represents a portal that takes you into a different holiday land. So, for example, this one has a big Easter egg on it, right? So that represents the vernal equinox. Basically, right? Easter time or spring, right? Then we have Halloween over here, which is opposite to this. These are the two of the exact same things on the calendar at the very least. That's why they're across from one another, right? During Easter time, it's also Passover. Biblically speaking, during the Passover, there was a great mighty wind of God or spirit that rushed through the world and allowed people to understand each other's languages. That's an actual story in the Bible where people had telepathy. Right? I mean, that's how I interpret that. On the opposite end of the spectrum is Halloween, Dia de los Muertos, the Day of the Dead, the day when spirits come back and people try to blend in, and there are hauntings and there's ghosts all over the place and stuff. These are two exact same instances, two same happenings on our calendar, opposite of one another. And this has a lot to do with the plasma apocalypse and how the seasons actually shift every cycle that we go through the plasma apocalypse. Then we've got like a Christmas one and some other ones too. And then you'll notice right in the middle, these are the stars. These are star trails. This is, they mess with your perspective sometimes in these movies so that you pick up on it subconsciously. They'll invert things, they'll flip them around, they'll change the perspective. But this is the sky that you're looking at. This is the North Pole. This is the Septon Trio. Literally 7 trees, right? And you'll see that on ancient maps. That's what they call the North or the Arctic Ocean. They call it the Septon Trion, the Septon Trio. And this circular shape in the middle right here, if you're looking up at the sky during this time of magic, whenever there's geoplasmas lighting up the firmament, you will see this circular shape up there in the sky, which is the apex dome. Or the apex of the firmament, right? Here's another view of some of these different trees. There's like a Thanksgiving one. There's a Christmas one. And these are all worlds. So you can open them up. You can go into these worlds. It's another example of tree portal symbolism. They're not actual physical trees in real life. This is all symbolic and cartoonified. These are mountains. They're cave systems. Usually volcanoes, okay? Volcanoes today are a bit different than they will be in the time to come. There will be places of power in the time to come. There will be openings into the earth. They will hold those geoplasmas that are life-giving, and people will settle down in those areas, and those will be the first cities. And that's why people live on active volcanoes today. Not because they thought it would be a great piece of property to settle on because of lava and everything. They didn't have all that back in the ancient world. And in the world to come, those things will be removed as well. Volcanoes will be safe and wonderful places to live. Next up. Oh, this is from Harry Potter. I forgot the name of this particular tree. You can see it right there. But within this tree also acts as a portal that takes you to like this secret place as well. And then we have Coraline. Also, another great movie by Ed Burton. Tim Burton, right? Tim Burton's one of my favorite movie makers. But this is Coraline's backyard. It's a garden. It represents the Garden of Eden. At the center of the Garden of Eden, there will always be a well. I don't want to like cause anyone to get a seizure. Sorry about the picture replaying. In the middle of that well, there will always be a tree that grows up out of it, right? Because the well is an opening that goes down into the depths of the earth itself. It's a transition point, right? This is where Janus lives. Janus is the god of openings, the god of doorways, the janitor god, the god that cleans up the world through plasma, right? Through cold plasmas that actually are antimicrobial, and they get rid of bacteria and stuff, and they rejuvenate your skin and everything. That's why Janus is the janitor god. Janus, or Gan Oz in Hebrew and in Phoenician, literally means powerful garden, strong garden. That's the name of Janus, right? Anyways, this one is from The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, which shows you your actual world, albeit sometimes cartoonified, sometimes a little bit embellished, but this is the way the world once was. People could speak with animals through telepathic means. Animals could speak to humans. Some of you can speak to animals today because you have a stronger spirit about you, and you resonate, you feel it, you sense it. And you're intuitive and you pay attention as well. It's a combination of different things. But whenever the atmosphere is electrically amplified, you too will be able to understand the animal kingdom. A lot of people are going to become vegetarians because who wants to eat something that you can talk to? You'll notice these trees right here in the middle too. Oftentimes, like I said, they'll intertwine and they'll create this sort of portal. They'll create this Vesica Pisces in the center right there. I've done a video on the Vesica Pisces that appears in the sky right above the Tree of Life as well. And how that's seen as that's basically the root of the Eye of Sauron, depending on your perspective. It's also the wound in Jesus' side when he was stabbed by, you know, a spear or whatever, the spear of destiny. But yeah, this is also in The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. The wardrobe is the closet of the world, the back door of the world, the secret room of the world, of our world. It is a room, it is a place, it is a location at the center of the labyrinth, at the center of the map that people have forgotten all about because we've become distracted on our adventures, distracted on the path. We've forgotten that we need to get back to the center place, which is actually ingrained within the verbal and oral traditions of Native Americans, like the Hopi. They talk about how they need to return to the center place, which was their place of emergence, where they came from, where they were created, where their whole story began, and where it will end once again in the future. And that's it. That's a short just little presentation on tree portals. I don't recommend trying to cut open a tree, traveling through it physically, an actual tree or anything like that. But there are openings. There are mysterious, forgotten, and esoteric openings and actual physical portals in our world that lead down into an inner earth, Agartha, another world underneath our feet, the upside down. To some, it may be a scary place. It all depends on your perspective. To other people, it might be wonderful and a wonderland. Until next time, I'm Jay Dreamers saying good vibes and goodbye. Thanks for watching.
hard to fade away. But something's forcing me to stay. It'd be easier for me if I turn away to flee. But there's something holding on in the way of being long gone. There's so many ways to escape, but I guess it's time to wake up, time to wake up. Far too many ways to escape, but I guess it's time to wake up, time to wake up. Time to wake up, time to wake up.